Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As we discussed in our previous segment, the North Carolina General Assembly is back in town for what's usually referred to as the legislative short session, a gathering that's supposed to be reserved for making adjustments to the two-year state budget and handling a smattering of bills left over from last year. For better or worse, however, early indications point to a session filled with a bevy of controversial proposals, including several that will directly impact basic civil rights and liberties. Earlier this week, in order to get a better handle on some of these debates, I sat down with the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the ACLU of North Carolina, Attorney Daniel Bowes. Well, Daniel Bowes, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
The General Assembly is back in town. A lot of things the ACLU of North Carolina will be watching. There are some bills that have just sort of been hanging around for a while. It's not just things that are going to be introduced in the coming days and weeks or that have been introduced in recent days. It's bills that may have passed last session, maybe even been vetoed by the governor, and we're still waiting to see if there will be a final action, maybe even to override the governor. I know there are a couple bills you're watching in that category. Why don't you tell us about those?
Yeah, and thank you again, Rob. Across the board, civil liberties and, sort of stuff that we previously thought about as unassailable basic rights are very much under siege right now. And so I appreciate the platform. You know, one I'll start with is House Bill 805. That was the Speaker's bill, which was ostensibly to prevent, the title of it was prevent rioting and civil disobedience. But
who could be against that, right? Being against rioting and civil disobedience sounds good.
And maybe that's why more than half the Democrats voted for the worst version of the bill when it was first introduced. And we actually had to do a lot of work on that to help a broad range of legislators understand really that it was unnecessary and that it was actually targeting protest and free speech and really came to call it an anti-Black Lives Matter bill. And we're grateful that Democrats in the Senate voted completely against it and then persuaded their House members that they should change their votes. And so when it came to Governor Cooper, he was willing to veto that bill. But we've seen several times in the past where there can be a little bit of trickery to override those vetoes. So we're trying to be pretty vigilant on that front, not only for the veto of House Bill 805, but House Bill 324, which was the anti-critical race theory bill that we saw pushed through.
Right. This is this bill that has this crazy idea that we're somehow teaching this graduate level topic in elementary schools. And there's this great fear that somehow young children might, learn the truth about racism in American history. Is that what this bill's basically
about? It's a hyper politicized issue. It seems more so every day. But the provisions of the bill were not as bad as what we saw in many states, but they were still, again, unnecessary and would have actually, really dissuaded teachers from really being able to clearly communicate and freely teach. And so we're, again, grateful that that was vetoed, but are going to be vigilant in the short session. A couple bills that are moving are that passed one chamber last session, and we are keeping our eyes on to try to keep them from passing this session. One is House Bill 560. This is actually sort of ironically titled Public Safety Reform and is actually an agency bill pushed by the Department of Public Safety that would, basically, it's the same old of the carceral state, basically adding more criminal penalties, taking away people's rights when they're in prison, and just really sort of reacting with harshness and cruelty. Specifically, what the bill does is would actually require consecutive sentences of at least 6 months or a year for when an individual inside the prison exposes their genitalia to a guard. Another provision of it would actually significantly narrow the ability of people in prison to be compensated when their property, what little property they have, is actually damaged or lost. So again, it's just sort of Department of Public Safety trying to more efficiently warehouse people and at the cost of, the quality of life of those individuals who are already living in horrific conditions. And so we have been, us and a broad coalition of individuals have been fervently against this bill and really pushing Department of Public Safety and the Cooper administration for answers about how this comports with the goals of the task force on racial equity in the criminal justice system and other reform measures that have, according to the administration, have been prioritized. But we're just not seeing that with bills like House Bill 560 continuing to be pushed. That's one that we're watching closely. And then the other one I would add there is, you know, we do think that the targeting of immigrants will continue. You know, a bill that passed last session of the biennium was House Bill 370 that was vetoed. And that bill is replicated exactly in Senate Bill 101, which would require law enforcement to cooperate with ICE. So really connect the criminal justice system to the immigration system explicitly in a way that is unnecessary. And so, you know, we were glad to see that that actually has not passed in the last session. It has gone through the Senate, but is now in the House. And, you know, we're working with different immigrant rights groups, impacted people to speak out against that bill and target legislators who don't really understand how harmful it would be.
We're talking with Daniel Bowes, who's the director of policy and advocacy for the American Civil Liberties Union of North Carolina, about some of the legislation that's on the front burner at the General Assembly this session. Daniel, there actually are some, they may not pass this year, but there are some bills that are a little more encouraging that might have a little more of a positive impact, I know, on civil rights and civil liberties. A couple of those you're working on, right?
Yeah, and I'll actually, you know, praise the North Carolina Justice Center, who is leading on a lot of these bills and issues for justice. Really, I think one reason why the criminal justice reform work has advanced as far as it has in a bipartisan way is that it's just been sort of steady and incremental. And, you know, what we're seeing, unfortunately, now, though, is that basically the special interest here, and I would really point toward the North Carolina Conference of District Attorneys and the North Carolina Sheriff's Association, have basically reached the point where they're no longer willing to give anything. And so are really acting in a very sort of reflexively obstructionist way for at least the last year on several bills that have strong bipartisan support. So a bill to eliminate juvenile life without parole, you know, we're the only country in the entire world that has that punishment. You know, we can look at the people who are currently serving that sentence in North Carolina and see that 80% of those individuals are Black and 90% are people of color. So clearly drastic racial disparities. And you have somebody like John Faircloth, former police chief of Greensboro, willing to sponsor that bill to eliminate that practice and provide the individuals the opportunity to go before the parole board after decades. And the Conference of DAs is all too willing to just derail that completely, again, despite the strong bipartisan support. I would say the same thing with House Bill 877, which is fair compensation for exonerees who have been imprisoned. So this is where somebody's literally served time in prison, was found to be innocent of a conviction, and making it easier to provide that individual access to compensation. Because right now, even if you've been exonerated, only if you get a pardon from the governor can you actually get compensation. And unfortunately, what we've seen is, the governor has not been willing to provide pardons. So this would be a way to allow Superior Court judges in local jurisdictions to actually provide access to that relief. But again, the conference is blocking that despite strong bipartisan support. And so, you know, half of our work, whether you're talking about the compensation, whether you're talking about another bill, license to work, which would make it easier to get driver's license back that are suspended based on unpaid court fees, trying to stop the practice of mugshot extortion, where you're asked to pay money to have a mugshot taken off of the internet. All these have strong bipartisan support and have advanced, but we've hit the point where we really have to basically push through the opposition of the Conference of DAs, the Sheriff's Association, and just ask legislators and the public to really commit to this reform effort and not just consistently defer to these special interests because they are not willing to collaborate.
Coming to the end of our time with ACLU of North Carolina Director of Policy and Advocacy, Daniel Bowes. One issue, final issue I thought I might ask you about, Daniel, is this so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. This is an issue we've seen raise its head in several states around the country. This whole, it's not unlike the Don't Say Gay bill that we've heard about in Florida, where we're sort of spreading this, no other way to put it, misinformation about the kind of things that are being discussed in our classrooms, especially as it pertains to LGBTQ equality and issues like that. I wonder if you have any thoughts about that legislation that we've heard about and whether it might be preceding this session of the General Assembly.
Yeah, I think, you know, House Bill 755 is the House bill that Senator Berger, Senator Ballard, and other individuals decided to stick these provisions in. So, you know, as heard in the Senate Education Committee this morning, I think it will advance, but I expect that Democrats will not support it, that the governor would veto it, because it's basically targeted opposition to the LGBTQ community that's wrapped in parental rights. And so when you look at 90% of the bill, it actually makes a lot of sense. Obviously, parents should know what's going on with their children when the state and when public schools are teaching them. And so, you know, it's a worthy goal if that's the goal. But unfortunately, what we see is that we have the same, you know, don't say gay language that just came out of Florida, that besides creating this back and forth process of transparency and accountability, would add on a whole other layer that just explicitly prohibits any conversations or any part of the curriculum being focused on gender identity or sexual orientation for kindergartners to third graders. And so I think that's what's so problematic here, is that it is targeting marginalized community. And so we're fully against it. We expect that it will not become law, but I would be glad to have a separate conversation. I know many advocates would be about parental rights and how you navigate that back and forth, because that is definitely a valid issue. Unfortunately, here, the context matters. And this bill is really coming straight out of Florida and is just not what North Carolina needs.
Daniel Bowes is the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the ACLU of North Carolina. We're so glad that he's there. We're talking to him literally as he sits outside the legislative building. He's watching the details of this legislation that will be considered over the coming weeks and months in the General Assembly. We're so glad he's there to keep an eye on things and defend people's civil rights and civil liberties. Daniel, stay safe, keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again later this summer.
Thank you, Rob.
Coming up next, a conversation about the vexing issue of child fatalities in our state and what we can and should be doing about it. Stay with us.